Thank you, Daryl, for reading that, and Dwight for leading us in those songs, especially that last one. Let me invite you this morning to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And while you're turning, I just want to mention something that happened this past week so you can be prayerful about it. Most of you, I'm sure, have already heard that Sandy Graham lost her home to fire on Friday. And there was a group that was out there, and I know on Saturday when the insurance companies finally allow us to go in, I know, Sandy, you're going to have a crew there to help you at that point too. But just pray for her. She has a wonderful attitude about this, and her faith is strong. But I know some of you have been through this very kind of thing, and you know what it's like to lose your possessions. And fortunately, she had been anticipating a move, and most of her most valued possessions were in the garage, and that was spared. So we're grateful to God for that. But pray for her at this time. We began a series this month on family, and we began with the church as our spiritual family. We talked about grandparents and the role that they play in family. Last week, Dwight talked about fathers and the important role that fathers play within family. And today we're going to look at mothers. And I want to say at the outset, I'm grateful to a host of writers on Christian parenting. There are more good books on Christian parenting today in bookstores than there have ever been before. I'm grateful to Brian Bill. I'm grateful for his writing, for examples right here in this church family that I have drawn inspiration from. I'm grateful for my mother and for my wife as she has been a mother. And now as I have the joy of seeing my daughters take on the role of being mothers. It's been calculated that by the time a child reaches 18 years of age, a mother has had to add to her daily schedule around 18,000 extra hours of child-generated labor. Now, that averages an extra 3 months per year to your already busy schedules. And so I'm grateful for what mothers do. A father was explaining to his four-year-old what marriage was all about and what family was all about. And he took out the family album, and it started back when he and his wife began to date, and there were pictures there. Then there were pictures of the wedding and then of the birth of the children. And the little child was trying to take it all in. And as she was looking at the wedding photograph, she said, "Is that when Mommy came to work for us?" And I know mothers do work hard in the home. So let me also say this. Anytime I preach a sermon that deals with mothers or motherhood, I am aware and I want to be sensitive to those in the crowd who perhaps want to be mothers, but for some reason are unable to do so. I want to be sensitive to those who perhaps did not have a good mother, because I know not everyone is blessed with a good mother. I'm also sensitive to those who recently lost a mother, or to the mothers like those in the Northeast who recently lost a child. And I also want to be sensitive to those who are taking on the job of parenting single-handedly. And that also goes for mothers who do their best to instill the knowledge of God in children with, at times, little or no help from their husbands. In fact, I want this morning, as we look at mothers, to go to a source that we might consider unlikely. I want to look at a mother who raised her son without the spiritual encouragement of the father. A mother who, like many mothers today, probably took this boy to worship God without the father being present. and who did an outstanding job of raising that child in spite of her situation. Now, the young man's name is a familiar name to us. His name's Timothy. And to be fair, this mother did have help from her own mother. Timothy's father, we learn from reading Scripture, was a Greek, apparently an unbeliever, but this godly mother, whose name was Eunice, along with the help of Grandma Lois, produced an outstanding Christian young man. In fact, a leader in the church. So the question I want to pose today is, how can Christian mothers train up their children in our world today to have faith in God? Well, let's learn from this spiritually single mother, Lois. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, down in verse 12, Paul reminds Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will experience persecution. And then he goes on in verse 14, and Paul encourages young Timothy to hold on, hang tight in tough times. And he says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." Now, Timothy had learned about faith through Christ for salvation. In fact, he had not just learned it was no longer intellectual. He was convinced of it, Paul says. In his heart of hearts, he knew it was true, and he was living this out. And Paul says, it's because of those from whom you learned it. Well, what was it that he learned, and who were his teachers in all of this? Well, Paul goes on to say in the very next verse, look in verse 15, "And how from your infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." This word infancy, it means literally from the time he was a newborn. His earliest years as a toddler. The first thing that this godly mother did was to instill the Word of God in her son. In the manner of devout Jews, this mother and this grandmother taught Timothy from his earliest memories. I'm sure they read to him from the Word. And they told him the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel and David. So he was familiar with how God worked in the lives of those great men. They obviously lived out the commandment of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." And Lois and Eunice did just that. And that boy grew up hearing the Word of God and seeing the Word of God lived out in the lives of these two godly women. They internalized the Word of God and lived it out daily, talking about it and explaining it to this young boy as he grew. And let me just say to the mothers that are here present, it is never too early to start teaching your children the Word of God. Never too early. And it's never too late to start if you've not already begun that instruction process. And let me just say to you, you don't have to do it alone. I am so grateful for this congregation and for the things that are taking place in this congregation to help our children. The children's program that's going on, I tell you, I'm excited. There's hardly a week that goes by that I don't wander down the hall, and Jane and Bob are back there working on curriculum with their whole crew, and Sherry and Jane are teaching our second graders, and they're memorizing, and that curriculum is going to move up a grade each year, and they're going to learn all these things. And we're going to see some drastic changes for the better taking place among our young people because of this curriculum. We've got leadership training through Christ, and we see our young people developing and growing in their skills through that program. Every summer we have our Vacation Bible School. We've got a tremendous little youth group here at Sunset, and they're involved in all kinds of great activities. And then we've got a wonderful youth program going on here. And we're so grateful for what's taking place there. And then on top of all that, we've got places like Happy Hollow Bible Camp and Green Valley Bible Camp, and the support and the love and the encouragement of this church family. All of this. But this is not what God has designed as the primary tool. The primary tool is the home. Now, all this that I just mentioned, that's supplemental. It's there to assist you in the primary role as parents in the home. I'm grateful for all that's taking place here. This mother and grandmother knew the importance of instilling the Word of God in their children. They also understood the importance of authentic faith and a child seeing authentic faith. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul here again references Timothy's background. He says there in 2 Timothy 1:5, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." You see, it wasn't just enough, though, for that grandmother to have an authentic faith. Somehow that authentic faith was transferred to her daughter Lois. And then somehow that same authentic faith was transferred again to that young man, Timothy. At some point, Timothy had to own his own faith. Faith is not hereditary. It is something that is learned. Always it's learned. He uses the word here, sincere faith, and that literally means non-hypocritical. Non-hypocritical. Faith that is real is faith without hypocrisy, without a phoniness, without a veneer. These two Christian women were serious about their commitment to Jesus Christ, and Timothy knew that. He saw that. He experienced that in his home. He knew that his mother was not a religious phony. And no one sees through hypocrisy more clearly and more readily than children do in the home. As you demonstrate your faith, I'm talking to the mothers this morning, as you demonstrate your faith consistently by reading your Bible and allowing your children to see you reading your Bible and praying and allowing them to see and hear you pray, and by being involved in the family of believers and by taking your children to activities that promote spiritual growth and encouraging them to be part of that, and by participating in the life and the mission of the church, you are sending a clear message to your children. Let them see a faith that is a real, authentic faith. John Mark, another young man that grew up to be a leader in the church, we only read about his mother. Her name was Mary, in that early church in Jerusalem. And we read in Acts 12 that her home was a regular meeting place. She opened the home, and there Christians gathered for prayer meetings. It was in the midst of one of those prayer meetings in Mary's home. John Mark is that young man growing up in that home. In that prayer meeting, when Peter was released from prison and came and knocked on the door of her house, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a woman given to prayer. In Acts chapter 1, we read that Mary was right there in the midst of that group as they joined together constantly in prayer with the other disciples. Let your children hear your prayers on their behalf. One writer wrote this of a Christian mother. He said, "A Christian mother is more interested in having her children know the Bible than in having them learn a new language. A Christian mother is more interested in her children's souls than in their bodies or their clothes. She's more interested in her children's eternal life than their success in this material life. She's more interested in her children's relationship with Jesus than their popularity in the world. And she's more interested in her children's faith than their intellectual, musical, or athletic accomplishments. And then thirdly, Christian mothers need to instill in their children a desire to serve and to minister in the kingdom of God. Back in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, we read about Paul's first encounter with this family, this grandmother and mother and this young boy, Timothy. And it says that Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Paul wanted to take him along on his journey, and he did. You see, that home, even without strong male spiritual leadership, produced a dynamic Christian leader in that young man, Timothy. And mothers, part of your job is to instill respect for the Word of God in your child. And another responsibility is to live out authentic faith in the presence of that child or children. But these two things are both foundational for the most important thing of all that you're to do for your child. And that is instilling a desire to serve and to minister within the kingdom of God in the heart of that child. Brian Bell wrote these words. He said, "Our kids are to learn the Bible and grow in their faith so that they can become difference makers in their world, so they can share their faith with others, so they can minister in the church and their school, so they can serve those who are hurting, so they can serve as missionaries, so they can identify their spiritual gifts and use them on a regular basis. The truth of the matter is this: we are saved in order to serve. And the child is blessed who has a mother who will teach and instill that truth." Back in the 1800s, a man named John Todd, who grew up to be a very effective minister of the gospel here in America, began life rather tragically. He was only 6 years old when both of his parents died. He was orphaned and he had a number of siblings, and they simply farmed the kids out to relatives. And it came his lot to go and live with his aunt, an aunt he had never even met. And she sent one of the hired hands to travel across country and pick that boy up on horseback. And he wrote later extensively of this time in his life and reflected back, and he said he would never forget that night as he and all of his worldly possessions were loaded on the back of that horse, and he got up behind that hired man and they rode through the night. And he said he was full of questions and he was full of fear and anticipation, and he began to ask, "Oh, what's she like?" And he was assured, "She's very kind, very loving, and will she have room for me?" And he said, "Oh, she's got a nice big home and you'll be very comfortable." "Well, I have my own room." And the hired man said, you will. She's already got your room all ready for you." And as they finally rode there late at night, he asked the last question. He said he remember asking, "You think she'll still be awake waiting for me?" And he assured that young boy, "Oh, yes, she'll be awake. In fact, when we get out of the woods, you'll see the candle burning in the window of your future bedroom." And he said, sure enough, he strained, and through the darkness, he saw a candle burning. And when he walked through the door, he said that aunt welcomed him with open arms and made a place for him and became a second mother to him. And years later, he became a minister. Years later, she lay dying, and she had written to him and expressed her anxiety and fears. And this is the letter that he wrote back to her. He said, "My dear aunt, years ago I left a house of death, not knowing where I was to go, whether anyone cared, whether it was the end of me. The ride was long, but the servant encouraged me. Finally, he pointed out your candle to me. And there we were in the yard, and you embraced me and took me by the hand into my own room that you had made up. After all these years, I still can't believe it. How you did all that for me. I was expected. I felt safe in that room, so welcomed, and it was my room. Now it's your turn to go. And as one who has tried it out, I'm writing to let you know that someone is waiting for you. Your room is all ready. The light is on, the door is open, and as you ride into the yard, don't worry, dear aunt. You're expected. I know, because I once saw God standing in your doorway." I want to close with prayer this morning for all the mothers that are here. Will you pray with me? Father, we pray today for our mothers and for the daunting role that they take on with their children. Father, our prayer is that in their actions, in their deeds, that they will instill God's Word clearly and firmly in the lives of their children, that they will live out the Christian life as a model before their children. And Father, we pray that these children will grow up with a desire to be servants of yours. And so, Father, we pray that every child here today will be able to see God in their mother. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you need what Jesus alone can offer by way of forgiveness, we want to extend the invitation to you. If you need have another need that we can help with as we pray for you as this spiritual family here, we'll gladly assist. We invite you, if you have a need, to come while we stand and sing.